morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
Morning. God bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good to see everyone. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? Ask Brother Mike May if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your wonderfulness and your mercy and grace that you give to us, Lord. Father, we wouldn't be here today in this place, Lord, if you had not appointed it.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the traveling mercies that you gave us on the way, Lord, as we assemble ourselves together to hear from you this morning, Father. Lord, we thank you for your presence, that you've been with us these past couple of days, Lord God, and we thank you for speaking to our hearts as well as the youth, Lord. Father, for others that are still traveling, Lord, we pray that your hand of mercy will be upon them on the highway, Father. Lord, we pray that you'll use your servant, Lord, to speak to us this morning, Lord, as he's prepared himself, Father. Lord, we come asking that you please forgive us of our sins and our iniquities, Lord, and anything that we've thought or said that was displeasing to you, Father, please forgive us.
Amen.
Lord, we give you the honor and praise and pray you had a preeminence this morning. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Book of Acts, chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. Book of Acts, chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. Scripture reads, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Amen. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. So we're going to, by God's grace, continue on the study of the book of Acts and the Acts of the Holy Ghost, as Brother Branham would say. So this is not the Acts of the Apostles, but it is the Holy Ghost working through men or working through the apostles, so we could see the demonstration of God not just working through the man Jesus Christ, but through God's people. So when we look at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, cloven tongues like as of fire. And so remember when the scripture is talking about in the Gospels about Jesus Christ coming to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And if you remember the message, a future home, of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Brother Branham is talking in depth about the future, as we remember. And he's talking about the redemption, not only of ourselves, but also this earth. And so when he says a new heaven and a new earth, when he's talking about the new earth, he's talking about the redemption of that earth back to the original condition. So we know that there was an original condition in the Garden of Eden of how God, whenever he has something in his mind, the first time is perfect. So he had a picture-perfect image in his mind for the earth. And so that's what was created. And so we know that God had 6,000 years to develop the earth and all the things that were on the earth. And then on the seventh day, he was resting. And then we know that Satan came in. And so there was a fall, and then Satan's had 6,000 years to destroy this earth, right? So we, through the redemption of the purchased blood, as well as the Holy Ghost, then we are being redeemed back to the original conditions ourselves. But also the earth is being brought back to the original condition. So we know the flood was the first part of that. And then we know that when Jesus Christ shed the blood on Calvary, that was not only for our sins, but for this earth as well.
Amen.
And so in the end, this earth will be renewed by fire.
Amen.
So us, we were renewed in our soul by the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And so that same image, if you can look at it, that will burn this earth and burn all sin and all the corruption, and it will be renewed again. So then bringing it back, and then we will come down on this earth and live on this earth. And so that is what we're looking forward to. So not only a redemption of ourselves, but the redemption of this planet. So remember in the book of Romans, it's talking about the creature or the creation is waiting for the redemption. The manifestation of the sons of God, for the sons of God to come back to how they were before in God's mind, and then this earth to be renewed itself. So they're groaning. The creation's groaning. So you see birth pains, earthquakes in diverse places. It's getting ready. It's birth pains for the earth to be renewed again. Yeah. Amen. So now when we go in the book of Acts, I'd like to go with back to chapter 1, if we can. Last time we talked about the one accord, the unity, and then we talked about the choosing, God's choosing rather than man's choosing, talking about the apostle Paul versus Matthias. But it just struck my heart to talk about this a little bit more. So in chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. This is the essential part of the believer, that they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In the heart of each believer, that's the desire, is to receive that. A believer will not be satisfied until they receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that baptism of the Holy Ghost gives a life that changes the person inside out and brings them eventually to the redemption of this body and the transformation that we're looking for. So he says in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you shall receive power. You're not going to receive quotes. You're going to receive power. And then you are going to go out. That power is going to allow you to be witnesses. And so that power gave the disciples the drive, the motivation, the overcoming power to do what they were going to do. It gave them the ability to speak as unlearned, as people that didn't have education, but speak boldly. You know, if sometimes when you speak in front of people that are well-educated, PhDs, and different things, sometimes you feel intimidated because you don't have the education that they have. But when you have God inside, you can speak with authority. Amen. And with power, because there's something there that's not yours. Amen. You're not relying on your own intellect or your own abilities, Amen. But there's something there that's driving what you're saying and your actions that you're doing. Amen. Now, so we want to talk about this power a little bit more. Now in the message, the Laodicean Church Age, 1960. Now, Brother Branham makes this comment in this prayer. He says, our Heavenly Father, they are the trophies of your presence. They know that these words are true because they are yours. They know that they have been given by the Holy Spirit because they are the Word of God. Are you the Word of God? You are the Word of God. And they have been convinced that they need you, that they need sweetness of the Holy Spirit in their life to give them overcoming power. And they will receive power from on high, receive the power to live a Christian life, to receive power to overcome temptations. As a song we was just singing, they gathered in the upper room and was praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Amen. That's what they want, power for service to come upon them. Amen. And so we know that in our Christian life that The power of grace upon our life takes us through different stages. Just like it took the Israelites through different stages, so there's different stages of grace that come upon our life. And so when we heard the word of God, then that brought us into the first stage of grace, and so that we have heard. And so after hearing the word of God, we know that there's something that we are falling short of. There's a different path. And so God has changed our direction and brought us to a different way. And so we made a decision that we didn't want to go this way anymore. There was something better. It wasn't a reformation or a conforming, but it was a total change. You understand what I'm saying? Total change of direction. So Brother Branham makes this statement in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. He says, the new birth is a revelation personally to you. Amen. So when you heard that voice, it's not just, we want to get away from our senses. We want to get away from reasoning. We want to get away from using our minds in different things. It's not about it makes sense to us. It's about a supernatural revelation that occurs. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so when we were introduced to a truth of the message of the hour, when we were introduced the truth to the scriptures, there was something there that was a power that opened up the scriptures to us, and we saw the truth of what it was. So it wasn't something that says A plus B equals C. Like I said, I saw the scriptures in Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38, and then I correlated them together, and it made sense in my mind that he was talking about the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was a revelation. It was something that the light struck. And then something real came into your heart and you said, I know that's the truth. And nobody can persuade your mind or anything about it. And you may not even understand it. But it's something that you know is the truth. So remember, the devil wants to work through reasoning and rationale. So take the scriptures and say, this makes sense. But it's not about this makes sense. It is about a power, a revelation that God has made real to you. Because when that revelation comes to you, you are going to go through tests and trials to take you away from that. But no one can take that away from you, not even death. Not even the threat of death or anything else like that. Do you understand? So that's how you know how God is real in your heart. So when there are those that leave, they never had it in the first place. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that revelation, as the example was, when Peter received the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he knew that this was the Messiah. And so when Jesus says, who did men say that I am? And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, nobody told you that but my Father which is in heaven. So it was something that was supernatural that came to Peter's heart, right? And so the gates of hell will never prevail against that. So no devil out of hell can take that away from you. You understand? Now, Peter was not, how should I say, converted at that time. When I say converted, he did not receive the Holy Ghost. But he had a revelation. So you and I, when we first came to Christ, there was a light that struck, we heard a voice, and that gave us the revelation. However, we did not have the power of the Holy Ghost. So when you heard that voice and you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, there was a change that took place. There was a repentance. There was going from this direction to this direction. Now, sometimes I like to read, how the prophet talks about his experience. Do you like testimonies sometimes? I love testimonies because it's real life experiences, so you know that it's real. And so I was, how many's read A Man Sent from God, that book? If you haven't read it, I would strongly recommend reading it because it just goes through the life of William Branham from the beginning when he was a child through his conversion and through the ministry and different things. And so you can see the scriptural pattern that's in his life. So in his conversion and call, we know that God was calling him several different times, but he didn't answer the call. and when he was young and different stages of his life. And so finally he surrendered his life to him. You know, he was on his deathbed and finally he surrendered his life. And so when he came to that point where he knew that he wanted to follow the Lord and make that decision, make that, you know, sell out to the Lord, then this describes that part of his journey. It says, "I started out to seek and find God. I went from church to church, trying to find some place where there was an old-fashioned altar call. The sad part was I could find none. One night I became so hungry for God and a real experience that I went out to the old shed back of the house and tried to pray. I did not know how to pray then, so I just began to talk to him as I would anyone else." So those of us that feel like, you know, teaching our children or when we were coming to the Lord that we had to know how to do things, God's just looking at your heart. And he's seeing what you're trying to do. Right. You may not have all the tools to do everything, but he's looking at your heart. What's your desire? Amen. And so he says, I did not know how to pray. Then I just began to talk to him as I would anyone else. All at once there came a light in the shed and it formed the cross. And the voice from the cross spoke to me in a language I could not understand. It then went away. I was spellbound. When I came to myself again, I prayed, "Lord, if that is you, please come and talk to me again." I had been reading my Bible since I had been home from the hospital, and I had read in 1 John, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." I knew that something had appeared to me. And as I prayed, it appeared again. Then it seemed to me that there had been 1,000 pounds lifted from my soul. And so many of us have been through that experience when we repented and God lifted that from us and there was a change, right? You know, there was a birth that was taking place. And Brother Branham says a birth is a mess. So maybe you were crying, maybe you were blubbering, maybe your snot was coming out. Maybe you were getting very emotional, but it was a mess, right? And you definitely knew that it took place. I jumped up and ran to the house, and it seemed as though I were running on air. Mother asked, "Bill, what has happened to you?" I replied, "I do not know, but I surely feel good and light. I could not stay in the house any longer. I had to get out and run." I knew then that if God wanted me to preach, he would heal me. That was one of the promises he made, remember, when he was on his deathbed. Heal me. So I went to a church that believed in anointing with oil, and I was healed instantly. I saw then that the disciples had something that most of the ministers do not have today. The disciples were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and so could heal the sick and do mighty miracles in his name. So I began to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we know that he was changed. He was converted. He met a light. And so 1,000 pounds were lifted up from him. But there was another measure of grace that he was going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One day, about 6 months later, God gave me the desire of my heart. He spoke to me in a great light, telling me to preach and to pray for the sick, and he would heal them regardless of what disease they had. I then started preaching and doing what he told me to do. So remember, he had this conversion, and then 6 months later, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then he began to preach and pray for the sick. And so when we look at this, you know, these different things that happen in the prophet's life, and we see these different scriptural patterns and things in the message of the hour, then it makes us look back at our own life. And so we know that there's different things that you hear from the pulpit and read in the message of the hour, read in the scriptures about that we were in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. But it's got to become a reality to you and I. Do you understand? It's not just a cliche. It's just not a message idea, something that's always preached and something that we just quote all the time and we have in our conversations. But these words have got to come off the pages and become a reality. And so when we see that it becomes a reality in our life, then we can, it brings us back to the Word. It connects us back to the beginning. It connects us back to Christ. And so when When you look at the seals and what happened, remember, it was the opening of the names that were on the book of life. Amen. So remember, it took the precious blood of Jesus Christ to open those pages, right? But he did that for a reason. He did that for you and I. He did not do that for himself. And we'll get to that in a second, because the Spirit of Christ is always looking out for others and not themselves. Amen. And that is the difference. Now, so when the revelation came and the book was open and the revelation poured out to his elect, and it told who was the names on that book. Now remember, you've got to receive a revelation of what he is saying. Amen. And so it does not come by mere study, but it comes by you being a predestinated child of God, you having something in there, you know, some type of encryption device inside of you to take that word of God and translate it into what it actually means. And so when that book was open, it was calling out your name. And so the book was telling who you are. Now, when you see your life in the scriptures, when you see your life in the message of the hour, then that brings you back to Calvary where Christ was. Because remember, where Christ was, you were there. Amen. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. And so you were on his mind. He was thinking of you because you were a part of him. Amen. You understand? Amen. And so now when you see that pattern and you see your life matching exactly the pattern, then that lifts you up. And I believe that's what John, the Revelator, saw in the scriptures. He saw his life and he saw himself in there, and that's what gave him joy. See, a true child of God, when they see the revelation, then they know for a surety that they are a child of God and that they are the part of the bride of Christ. And then when you see that, then it makes faith go through the roof. Because now you know that you are a part of him, and no matter what the devil does, he cannot take you out of his hand. Do you understand? So you go through things in life that you don't understand why you went through those things, right? And you read the scripture and you were confused about what was happening different times. Say, for instance, you know, when you had the conversion, you know, you heard the word of God, and then you had a change in your life. You know, God was calling you, and then you began to read the word of God more and more, and there was such a hunger. You had gone through a conversion, and then you gave up this, you gave up that, and you were going through what the prophet talks about, sanctification. He was cleaning up your life, right? And so as he was cleaning up your life, you were throwing out this music and these books and different things, and you said, I've got to change. I've received the Holy Ghost. Well, potentially you have. But you're going on the journey there. Do you understand? And so when you're going through that process, you have your ups and your downs. You know, you backslide. Then you go back up, and then you backslide again. And you're wondering what's taking place. If you see the scriptural pattern, you know exactly what's taking place. If you look at the tabernacle, when the people were going from east to the west, remember, on the east side, you were outside of the tabernacle. And so you're exposed to weather. You're exposed to rain. You're exposed to cold. You're exposed to sunshine and darkness. And so you're going to have ups and your downs because you just got into the court. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, why did I fall? Why couldn't I have the victory in those times, right? It's because you were in that stage of the journey. Amen. And so, you know, if you look at Israel, the life of Israel, as they were, remember they came out of Egypt? Oh my goodness, you know, we've got the victory. And they were shouting, they were yelling, you know, as the Egyptians drowned in the sea. And so they thought they made it, you know, one of them, right? And so they continued on, and they didn't think that they need to do anything more. They're going to get to the promised land anytime. But, you know, there was a journey that was going to go forward. And they had rough areas. They had areas where they were going to hunger. There were areas where they were going to thirst. There were areas the ground was rough and it was really hard to walk through. And they would get discouraged. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so they would get discouraged, and they would go through, and the enemies would try to do things to them. People would fall in different things, and man, I thought we were delivered, you know? And then it made people think, you know, what about Egypt? Egypt was different back then. You know, I mean, maybe it wasn't so bad, you know? Maybe we should go back to Egypt. You see this, what's going on? And so there were believers, and there were make-believers, there were unbelievers in that group. There was a mixed multitude. We know who the true believers were. They were Joshua and Caleb, right? And so they received the promise, and they were predestinated seeds. God spoke to their heart. They received a revelation. They had faith in the word of God. They knew that no matter how long it's going to take, we're going to get there someday. Did they have ups and downs? Sure they did. And so they had doubts in their mind, I'm sure. You know, why is this happening and different things? But something, there was an anchor that kept them through this.
Amen.
Maybe they were wondering, God, you know, what's happening here? I thought we were going to a land flowing with milk and honey, but something in them kept them and said, just keep believing.
Amen.
Just keep believing. But there are those that did not have, remember it says in the scriptures, not mixed with faith. And so they're the ones that turned their hearts back to Egypt and said, you know, let us have a captain and go back to where we came from and different things. And so when we look at our own Christian life, then we can see those things, right? There were times that we had come to the Lord, but then we had our ups and downs. We fell in sin. Amen?
Amen.
I could talk about a long period of my life, you know, where after I came a conversion, and the Lord let me go through a very tough temptation and try to get me to abandon this message this way, right? And so, you know, in your human weakness, because remember Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times before he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so a man that spoke in such a way in Matthew 16 that had the revelation but could deny Jesus, how could that happen? That happened to you and I.
Amen.
That happened to you? It happened to me.
Amen.
But something inside said, you know, even though I fell and I was weak, but there was something inside that said, I know this is the truth.
Amen.
You know, no matter what man was trying to persuade in me, there's something in there that I know is the truth. And that held through the ups and the downs and the dryness. Has anybody been through the dry spells of their life? And so the Israelites were in the dry spells of their life. You have been, you and I have been through the dry spells of our life.
Amen.
And wondering, what is God doing?
Amen.
What's God doing with this situation?
Right.
Why don't I have the joy that I had in
Amen.
The beginning, right?
Right?
It's because he's taking you through that.
Yes.
Why?
Amen.
Remember in the scripture that says, I put them through that wilderness to test them, whether they will believe me or not.
Amen.
And so God was testing you and I to see whether you would believe him or not through the ups and the downs and the difficult times.
Amen.
And he was looking at your heart, right? And so remember in the scripture it says the Holy Ghost is for them that obey the word of God, right?
Amen.
Brother Branham says, you know, he says that full obedience to the whole word of God entitles you to the token.
Amen.
And so what is obedience? It's obeisance, right? It's bowing down to the Lord and accepting him as the Lord. And so we may, you know, in our human ability not do things right. And, you know, even in that period of that dry spell, we were not doing things right. But in our hearts, we wanted to obey the word of God. And so as we're being tested through that time and difficult situation, there comes a certain time as we're on that walk that God gives us the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now you look through the people, the disciples and the other, the 120 that were in the upper room, they were waiting patiently. They were expecting, right? And Brother Branham says they took that word, which was in seed form, but they watered it with their faith. And they, even though it did not come to germination yet, they were believing on that word that it was going to pass, that it was already done, if you understand what I'm saying. Just like Abraham, when he believed it was already done, that he would receive the child. And because of his faith, watering that seed, eventually that seed came up and into manifestation, if you understand what I'm saying. So the people of God waiting in the upper room, they took the promise, they took the word of God, and they were believing it like it was already done. So they were in the upper room. They were praying, they were focused and different things, and so they were believing that God was going to send that. And so they waited until, and so when it came, then they, you know, it came as a rushing mighty wind, and they received power. Now, when I say power, now, look at the disciples after they received the power. They changed from being scared, as Brother Bram talked about it, to now that Peter spoke openly in front of everyone and said, this is not, you know, people that are drunk, but these people are spoken of in the scripture, Joel, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he wasn't afraid to speak to them in the face. Amen. That they were wrong. Because when you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, it allows you to put God first in every situation. Amen. Now I'm going to read something here. Power for service. Now he says, embalming Gilead, 1961, he says, then seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now that it inoculates you from the very thing that condemned you tonight, you just pass on above it. See, inoculation keeps you from the disease. Inoculation of the Holy Spirit gives you power to overcome all the temptations of the world. Amen. So those who have the Holy Ghost know that when you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, now you have the power to overcome temptations. The things that were bothering you before, the things that you fell from before, they don't happen anymore. Because God's given you that power. And so remember, in the scriptures, in Revelations, talking about the church ages, he says, he's talking about the overcoming power. Now if we turn to Revelations, I believe it's chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, talking about the Laodicean age. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh. You overcome by your own power? No, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Ghost. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne? What is the age that we're living in right now? The age of the overcomer. Remember, so we look at the scriptures. Remember, the Israelites, they were going through the wilderness, and when they went to the land of Canaan, that was a land of promise. That was what was promised by Jesus Christ. Remember in the scriptures, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you believe that promise with faith and you water it, you shall receive that gift. Do you understand? And so Joshua and Caleb, they believed that promise and they watered it with their faith and they received that promise. Now when they got in there, was it easy? No. But they had overcoming power. Now when you look at when there was a difference when they were in the wilderness and when they came into the land of Canaan. Because there was a big difference. The people of Israel had victory. In the wilderness, they were up and down. They had all kinds of problems and issues and different things. But once they came into the land of Canaan, they were defeating every single enemy that they went against, right? Because it was a different phase. It was the overcoming age. And so it representing the age when we have the overcoming power of the Holy Ghost. So the enemies were to fall at their feet. They were to take every inch of ground. That Holy Ghost was to place them at every single place where they needed to be. So remember, they did not try to go and take the land wherever they thought they should go, but it was Joshua leading them to every piece of land that they were to go to. Manasseh here, Ephraim here, different places, they were to take their positions. But it was a leader, Joshua. Remember, Joshua means Jesus, right? Same meaning. And so our Joshua to lead us into the right places where we should go. Amen. And so you see it's a progression from you receiving the revelation, God cleaning you up, and then when you're ready, after he's cleaned you up, and you're ready to receive power, remember, you've got to have character to receive power. And so God sees in you that you can receive that power of the Holy Ghost, and then he gives it to you. Do you understand? So remember, he talks about you must have character to have power. And so, you know, us ruling this earth is power, but we've got to have that character of Christ to receive that power. So he says, he can overcome all temptations because it overthrows all the things of the world. Now, in the message, How Can I Overcome, 1963, it talks about, remember Jesus, he received the Holy Ghost at the River Jordan. Are we all together on that one, right? And so he received the Holy Ghost there. Now he had power. He was the Word only before, but now he had the power of the Holy Ghost inside of him. So the full manifestation of the Word. So now as he's going forth, Satan's going to meet him, just like he meets you after you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It says, the first he made his attack upon to use his great power, which he knowed he was the Word. He knowed his position. You believe he did. I, the Son of Man. Do you know your position? Do you know who you are in Christ? Has God given you the revelation of who you are? Have you seen it proven in your life? Right? Because we talked about it. You go through those different things of your life, and at a certain stage, you look back and you see exactly the patterns of the Scripture. And then you know that God had the Word was in you and you were manifesting that Word. Just like Joseph, he didn't realize what he was doing, but when he looked back, he realized what God was doing in his life, going through prison and different things like that. And so you and I, looking back at our life and seeing the exact patterns of the Scriptures. So he says, I, the Son of Man, he knows his position, and Satan come and want him to use his own power on himself, to feed him, want to feed himself. He was hungry. A man gets hungry. How many of you all have a hard time controlling your appetite? A lot of Americans do, right? It's a powerful motivation, right? It's something that drives us. It's, you know, when we get hungry, we got to feed the beast, right? So a man gets hungry, he can almost do anything. He'll steal, rob, beg, borrow, anything. See, he had that appetite. And Satan used his first great major assault upon him to take his power that he had been given to overcome with and use it on himself. He didn't use it on himself. No, he used it on others. That's right. He used it on others, not himself. It wasn't for him. Though he could have done it, he certainly could have done it. So he had that power inside of him. He had the Holy Ghost. He knew he could do that. You know, many of us have power, you know, in different ways. God's given us gifts. So some of us have gifts of singing. Some of us have a gift of playing instruments. Some of us have other gifts that God has given to us. So there's a power in that gift. And, you know, how we deal with it determines what our character is. It shows what our character is. So sometimes people will use that gift to show off. Sometimes people will use that gift to make themselves above somebody else. Some people will use that gift to lift themselves up, you know, and make them look powerful in front of the people in different things. But you see, the character of Christ had that power, but that character in him was a selfless character. It was a character of God, right? And so because that character, he had that power, then he could express that in the right way. So he says he certainly could have done it. But see how the devil gets? The devil wants you to mind him. He minded only what their father said do. That's right. He said, why? Satan said, it's written. He give the angels charge. He said, yes. Jesus said, yes, but it's also written. See, there you are. See, he knew who he was. Now it says, the thought runs deeper than what it's wrote. See, it's inspiration. And so many times, You know, it's good to quote the scriptures. It's good to quote the message of the hour. But what is the message of the hour saying to you? What is the revelation of that? Because you can quote all day, you can, whether scripture or the message, but if it means nothing and it doesn't come to a reality, what good is it? It's just head knowledge, right? But he's saying it runs deeper than that. So what is it? What is it saying? The thought runs deeper. See, it's inspiration. The kernel is on the inside of it. You see what it really is. Though he could have done it, he didn't do it. But he never paid heed to Satan's proposition. Amen. Now, here's a good thing. See, sometimes Satan can take you. And when you think that you're doing the will of God and can make you a proposition, you'll fall for it. Yes, sir, he sure can. Now, he's giving an example here. So now, let's just take, for instance, like our sisters, they're pretty. And he can get you to a place that you let your hair grow out. You didn't realize it looked so nice on you. And the first thing you know, you get kind of feeling a little stuck up, you know? And so sometimes God gives us something, some type of quality, attribute, gift, or something like that. And sometimes then what do we use it with? And so he says, the sister used it to getting a little stuck up, little above something else. Some of you men, you know what I mean. See, and he can take that same thing and proposition it with you. That's right. You got to overcome that. Now, you may make mistakes after you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you don't fall completely. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you look at Brother Branham. He made mistakes. You know, he went on that Africa trip. He made mistakes there. He made mistakes about how to use his gift. It wasn't for his personal motivation, but it was ignorance. He didn't understand. He's done different things. You know, he lied, but it was under pressure because of the human nature that he had. And so different things that happened. You and I, we can make mistakes in different things, but where is our heart in it all, right? But the Holy Ghost, and we were talking about it with the young people today, I noticed a difference from the Holy Ghost from before I got the Holy Ghost. Is my desire for God, you know, I always had the desire for God in both stages, but the things that I fell from before, I did no longer fall from. And I talked about it with them that the Holy Ghost is like a limiter. You know, you can only go so far. You know, the flesh, it gets tempted, right? But the Holy Ghost speaks back and stops you before you continue any further. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the things that would grab a hold and I couldn't get loose in different things, the Holy Ghost kept me from that. It gives you the victory. That's the difference. You can be saved. You can be, you know, have the new birth in different things. But you must have the Holy Ghost to be an overcomer. Amen. Wow, time has fly. Let me finish reading this and we'll stand here. He says, you got to overcome that. Just remember, you're living for God. You have one objective, and that's Jesus Christ. Outside of that, there's nothing else counts. That's him. He's got to be number one in our life, in everything. When decisions come, it's got to be Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus Christ in the priority of it all? He says, and that's Jesus Christ. Outside of that, there's nothing else counts. That's him. Then secondly, for your family. Then thirdly, for yourself. But first, for God. Next, for your family. Next, for you. You're number three. You're last. We're last. That's the end of the road. Put yourself last. He did. He was the example. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just ask you continue to open the Word of God to us, O Lord. Amen. We know it is you in it all, O Father. Amen. The attributes that we express, whether it's good, love, joy, peace, all of it's from you, O Lord. We have nothing to do with it, O Father. The Word that comes forth, O Lord, Lord Jesus, it's all from you. Everything that we have is from you, O Lord. All we can do is just say thank you, Lord, and just accept it, O Father, by your grace. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just help us and let your grace continue to be upon us, O Lord. Forgive us of our mistakes and trespasses and failures, O Lord Jesus. You know our hearts, O Father. And Lord, as we continue on, continue to give us grace, O Lord, as we desire to follow you all the way to the rapture, O Father, and to do everything that you want us to do. We know that there's things for us to do on this earth, O Lord, and we've got to fully manifest that before the rapture. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us open our eyes, O Lord. Let us not be distracted with Laodicea, Lord, and fall into different things, O Lord, but stay focused, single-eyed, single-hearted, focused on you, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Dismissed.